Record rainfall and cold temperatures are affecting gardens, and a federal funding program key to local schools will remain in place for another year. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Cool and wet. That's been the weather for most of the summer, and forecasters say it's not about to change anytime soon for the Upper Lynn Canal. Haines and Skagway broke records for rainfall on Monday and records for maximum low temperatures on Monday and Tuesday. National weather forecaster Tim Steffen in Juneau said Skagway and Haines on Monday broke rainfall records at four weather stations in the area. Haines recorded just under 1 inch of rain on Monday and Skagway just over half an inch. Steffen said the Haines Airport tied the record low on Monday for a temperature of 56 degrees, and Haines Customs broke a record with a temperature of 57 degrees. On Tuesday, both communities broke long-time standing low temperature records again. The Skagway Airport broke a record from 1933 by dipping down to 55 degrees. And, Steffen said, the cool, rainy trend doesn't look to end anytime soon.
The jet stream, which usually pushes north of us, during the summer, which puts us on the warmer part of the air, just stayed south of us, and that's kept us in the cooler and wetter pattern that we've seen. And don't really see much change in that in the next week or so, unfortunately.
Local permaculture expert Melissa Aronson said the unpredictable and unusual weather presents challenges for gardeners.
I think anybody that's able to garden successfully in Haines deserve some kind of an award. There are places where you can garden and it's really easy. Here, if you're successful, you've worked hard at it.
She said leafy greens like lettuce and kale seem to be doing okay in the cool, rainy weather. But gardeners are having to take measures to protect warmer crops, like using more covers or moving some plants into greenhouses. Gardeners are also having to adapt to different challenges this summer than last, when lack of rainfall was a concern. Aronson said in one of her recent permaculture classes, they addressed how to deal with weather extremes from year to year.
One of the things that we looked at in the permaculture class that we did this spring was how to develop the hardscape in your garden, all of the non-living kinds of things that help you either save water, which is an issue we had last year, or get water out of the way of plants, which is the issue we have this year. And how to put up barriers against wind and take advantage of heat and sun and so on. You know, it's a lot more difficult.
And asked how the cool, rainy weather might affect wild harvests this year, like berries, Aronson chuckles.
Oh, I would be a wealthy woman if I could answer that question.
Aronson believes the odd cycles of weather are a result of climate change. She said scientists predict that weather will continue to be unpredictable, and that, Aronson said, will continue to affect small and large-scale food supplies, and not just for gardeners and farmers, but also for wild plants like berries.
Again, one of the predictions of the climate scientists is that with climate change, it's really what happens is you get kind of climate crazy, you get a lot more unpredictability in weather. And with the unpredictability in weather, it becomes more and more challenging for both cultivated foods and wild foods to be successful producers.
Forecasts for Haines and Skagway this week continue to call for showers and temperatures ranging from low 60s in the day to high 40s some nights. Find local forecasts at NOAA.gov or listen to weather reports throughout the day on KHNS. A federal funding program key to Southeast school districts, including Skagway and Haines, will remain in place for another year. An extension of the Secure Rural Schools program is part of a recently passed transportation bill. The program has been a mainstay for districts in or near national forests in and outside of Alaska. Senator Lisa Murkowski says the extension is only good for 1 year. She had hoped for more.
The bad news is that there's no glide path. What we were working on was a proposal that would allow for a 4 to 5 year kind of phase down, just kind of working it down to a point that was manageable, because right now there is no certainty after this year.
Alaska got more than $15 million for schools, roads, and some other projects from the program earlier this year. Murkowski says the next allocation will be 5% less. She says chances for a longer extension could improve next year. That's because the Energy and Natural Resources Committee comes up with the Senate's funding plan for the program. Murkowski will be the panel's ranking Republican member, and Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, who also supports the program, will be the ranking Democratic member.
So either he or I will be the chairman of the Energy Committee next year, depending on what happens with the majorities. So we've talked about this, about how we can work for a little more certainty to this program. I can't give you any real guidelines right now in terms of how we may take it, but I think we've got a better shot next year for a little longer approach to the program.
Without the extension, the program will revert to a formula that provides far less funding. The same bill also authorized another year of the Payment in Lieu of Taxes program. That also provides federal funding to rural communities. Without another extension, it will also revert to a less lucrative formula. That program provides firefighting, police operations, and school and road construction. A water treatment plant at the Tulsaqua Chief Mine Project in British Columbia has been shut down. Mine owners Chieftain Metals shut off the plant on June 22nd. The company says it cannot continue spending money on water treatment without any mine income. As Rosemary Alexander reports, acid rock drainage downstream of the mine has long been a concern of Alaskans.
Cominco was the last company to mine the old Tulsaqua Chief, closing it in 1957. The mine was never properly shut down, and for 60 years acidic water has been leaching into the Tulsaqua River. The Tulsaqua flows into the Taku River, considered southeast Alaska's most abundant salmon producer. Canadian company Chieftain Metals Incorporated purchased the property 2 years ago from Redfern Resources. With it, Chieftain acquired Redfern's permits and the requirement that it would have to clean up the acid rock drainage. In December, the company started operating what's called an interim water treatment plant. Interim because
a permanent solution is the complete development of the mine.
That's Chieftain President and CEO Victor Wyprisky. When the mine is all played out, he says there will be no acidic drainage if it is properly shut down.
So it's all sealed up and there is no leakage.
Early in June, the company notified Environment Canada and BC Ministry of Environment of its plan to stop the water treatment for an unspecified period of time. Treatment plant costs had ballooned, and to date, the company has spent about $9 million on construction and operation. As Wyprisky puts it,
no company in the world will be sitting there treating water without a mine.
He likens it to paying a mortgage without the benefit of owning a house. In 60 years, Chieftain is the only company to attempt to treat the acid rock drainage from the Tulsaqua. Alaska Large Mine Coordinator Kyle Moselle says committing to and constructing a water treatment plant prior to mine development is unique.
The interim water treatment plant was constructed to address the legacy ARD, the acid rock drainage, from past mining. So that's really unique. And so they're not generating income or profit from development of the mine yet. I can't think of a situation that mirrors that we have here in Alaska.
With the shutdown of the treatment plant, Chieftain is now in violation of its environmental management permit from the BC government. The international conservation group Rivers Without Borders believes Chieftain's decision to shut down the water treatment plant indicates the Tulsaqua project is not financially feasible. Spokesman Chris Zimmer wants the state of Alaska to take the lead and work with U.S. and Canadian agencies in solving the acid drainage problem.
I'd like to see some cross-border cooperation to clean this up. I mean, this is the most productive salmon river in the region. There's a lot of jobs dependent on it. So what I'd like to see is Alaska step up and go to BC and say, all right, what are we going to do to clean this up? Because clearly we can't depend on the company.
6 months before Chieftain started the treatment plant, the state of Alaska collaborated with U.S. and Canadian scientists to measure the impact of acid rock drainage on Tulsaqua and Taku River water quality. It was the first metals testing on the U.S. side of the Taku River. Fish and game biologist Joe Hitzelberger says they captured juvenile Dolly Varden at two sites on the Tulsaqua and one on the Taku.
Well above the acid rock drainage site on the Tulsaqua at the discharge site, and then on the Taku River right at the border.
Southeast Alaska fishermen and environmental groups have long expected the worst. In fact, the Fish and Game study was precipitated by Alaska fishing organizations who told the governor that drainage from the old mine, 37 miles east of Juneau, is threatening potential salmon harvests. But Hitzelberger says they did not find high metals concentrations in the fish.
For the metals that we looked at, the values we got were lower than what we see at other sites in Southeast and lower than the EPA criteria.
It was a small study, and Hitzelberger says it would be good to gather years of data like Fish and Game has from other Alaska mining sites, but he says the results don't indicate a need to immediately keep testing. Meanwhile, the multi-metal Tulsiqua mine is about 4 years from opening. Chief and CEO Ry Prisky says the feasibility study continues to show a viable project. He says it's a matter of fine-tuning the economics so it's more attractive to investors. And he says to tell Juneau residents, there will be no barging up the Taku River this summer. In Juneau, I'm Rosemarie Alexander.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Rosemarie Alexander and Ed Schoenfeld for their reports. Thanks for listening. We appreciate your support.